It's Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, and this hour continuing series. Later on, we'll pick up on the Frankenstein story from 1931, but right now we continue with The Deerslayer with Part 9 of 13, a syndicated episode from 1932.
You are about to hear another episode of The Deerslayer, dramatized and directed by Charles Frederick Lindsley. Family were in the Ark, skirting the shore of the lake, looking for Deerslayer, who is a prisoner in the enemy camp. The Iroquois entered Muskrat Castle and laid an ambush for the returning family. A desperate fight was waged, in which Hutter lost his life. But Harry March escaped by rolling off the platform into the water, where he was rescued by Chingachgook and the girls who had remained aboard the Ark. The situation is a critical one, and Judith tells March that there's but one way of escape for them. He must take to the woods and try to bring the soldiers from the garrison to their assistance. In the meantime, Deerslayer had managed to escape from his captors. After a long chase through the woods, he reached the lake and pushed off in a canoe from which the paddle had been removed. He tried to drift away from the shore, but the wind was against him, and he suddenly found himself again in the clutches of his pursuers.
Come, my young friend, him sail about until him tired. Him forget how must use legs.
You're the best of it, Huron. I am your prisoner again. But it's a good thing your brave took the paddle out of this canoe or you'd never seen me again.
My young friend, him moose. Legs much long. Give my young men lot trouble. Now him try be fish.
Why didn't you shoot me?
Fish take in nets, not killed by bullets. When him turn moose, Huron shoot.
Well, I'm your captive again. Work your will on me.
Has my brother seen enough to make him change mind and hear reason?
Speak out, Huron. Something is in your thoughts, and the sooner it's said, the sooner you'll get my answer.
Good. Paleface eyes not shut now. My brother him have killed two Huron braves, one husband, other him brother of squaw Sumac. Sumac now all alone. No one to hunt for her, fill lodge with venison. You great hunter, you make Sumac your squaw, live with Huron.
I have heard of men saving their lives in this way, but I'm white, and it goes against my nature. No, Chief, I prefer death to such captivity.
Paleface, think of this while my people make counsel. Tomahawks and Big Fire make Paleface brother talk. Me go. Name of Deerslayer will be called.
God's will be done on earth as in heaven. I did hope my days would not number so soon. But it matters little after all. A few more winters and a few more summers, and 'twould have been over. The young and active seldom think death possible till it grins in their faces and tells them the hour it comes.
Deerslayer.
Hetty, what are you doing here? Are you a prisoner, too?
I'm no prisoner, Deerslayer, but a free girl. The Indians will not hurt me.
But they're all around us here in the woods. Even the women and children are on the lookout.
I came here alone, as I've often done, and I'm not afraid. Oh, Deerslayer, do you know what has happened at the castle?
No. Is everyone safe? Is Hutter...
Father is dead.
Dead?
The Hurons managed to get inside the castle by cutting a hole in the roof.
But the rest of you?
When the fight began, we pushed away on the Ark.
And Hurry?
Hurry's gone ashore. He's on his way to the garrison to bring the soldiers.
Ah, it's a long chance, gal. It may be a week before he can bring help. You must go back to the Ark and tell Chingachgook to take the trail when it's dark and strike for the Delaware camp.
Shh. Here comes the chief.
The council has had their talk, I guess. And they're ready for the sacrifice. As soon as you can, slip away and deliver my message.
Killer of the deer, my people make decision.
So it looks.
Tomahawk sharp, fire soon ready.
Oh, you must not hurt Deerslayer. God will be angry.
Paleface him kill two Huron. God already angry.
Let me show you what the Bible says. Love your enemy.
Oh, no time to hear.
It's no use, Hetty. My hour has come, and what must be must. If you're bent on torture, Mingo, I'll do my endeavors to bear up against it.
No, Huron will see a pale-faced Delaware woman dressed in skin of Yankee.
Have your say, Chief. But talking can't make knives sharper or fire hotter. I'm ready. Tie me up.
Eh? When dear Slayer and feel that the knives of the warriors, him will change mind and live with Huron.
I'm already given my answer to that. And I'll not change my mind. But isn't this tree too small? Can your braves hit a sapling like this?
Paleface will see.
All ready, Mingoes. Throw away or your tomahawk will forget its harm. Ah, that's no good, Big Moose. Give your brother a chance now. Come on, Catamount. Stop your looping about like a fawn. Them silly antics. Oh, that's closer, but you only clipped my hair that time. See if you can't touch the scalp now. Maybe your squaws are handier with them hatchets. Come up closer. Take more time. Get a better aim. It's your turn, Bowling Boy. Don't miss, or the Huron gals will laugh in your face. Pretty close, Redskin, pretty close. But it'll take a long time to shave my head that way. I'll hold still this time and give you a chance. Send out your best marksman, Rivenoak, or the sun will fall before you get to the end of this.
Oh, killer of the deer, him brave. He no Delaware squaw. Maybe he changed mind. Stay with Huron. Be great hunter. Chief, maybe.
Go on with your deviltry. I have no desire to betray my white native but trifle with your flattery.
My warriors now try rifles.
Let them begin. A rifle is more merciful than a stone hatchet. And maybe they'll have better aim with white man's weapons. But come closer, Mingoes. You'll never hit it 50 paces. Ah, you may call this shooting, Mingoes, but I've known Dutch gals on the Mohawk that could outdo you. Undo these arms of mine. Put a rifle in my hands. And I'll pin the thinnest warlock in your party to any tree you can show me at 100 yards or 200.
Oh, stop, stop. Don't torture Deerslayer. He's not your enemy. Deerslayer is Judy.
Judith, why are you here?
Which is the chief, Deerslayer? I have an important message for him.
Rivenoak, chief. Rivenoak, him speak English. Let Flower of Woods speak.
Look at me, Huron. You can see I'm no common woman.
My daughter, handsome as wild rose.
Listen, the English have young men as well as the Hurons.
Yengeese plenty as leaves on trees.
Yes. Suppose I'd brought a party with me. There would have been a great fight, and the trail of the Iroquois would have been marked with blood.
Much blood already on trail. All Huron blood.
No doubt. And more Huron blood would have been spilt if I had come with pale faces. Rivenoak loves little animals made of ivory. I have brought some with me. Take them and start for your village. Leave Deerslayer with me. And see, here's a two-barreled rifle.
Let daughter keep two-tailed dog. Can eat when venison is scarce. Deerslayer cannot quit the young men now.
It'll not do, Judith. You thought that fine dress would make him think you a queen. But Rivenoak is an uncommon man. You should have stayed in the ark.
Anything to gain time, Deerslayer. Your friends are not idle.
Stand back, Judith, and wait. The devils are going to try fire now.
Killer of the deer has been brave. No afraid of knives or tomahawks. Huron, I'll see if he'd like to taste fire.
I've never been tested this way before, Chief. But you'll find me ready for your punishment.
Oh, why do you torment Deerslayer? He's your friend. When Father and Hurry Harry came after your scalps, he refused to be one of the party. He stayed in the canoe by himself.
My daughter, welcome to speak. Huron, glad to hear a voice. Great Spirit often speak with such tongue. This time her eyes not wide open. Two of Huron warriors fall by blows of Paleface. Go sit by Sumac. Now, young Paleface brother, Rivenoak, see if you kill with stout heart or by treachery like a leaping panther. Soon the fire be up to mouth.
This is my end, Mingo. But you'll see what a white man can do when called on to stand at the stake.
Now, my brother, boast.
No. I may be unfortunate in your prisoner, but I'm no boaster.
Stop! You shall not kill him this way!
Oh, stop! Seize this pale-faced girl! Tie her to tree!
Listen, Rivenoak, listen! What do you hear?
Huh?
It's the soldiers! I warned you! Now it's too late! Quick, Deerslayer! While I cut these ropes! They've come in time!
It was not a minute too soon, Judith. I didn't hope for such a miracle. How could the soldiers get here so soon?
Harry must have met them on the way to the garrison.
Where's Chingachgook and Hist?
Teddy and I left them on the ark. He'll probably join us as soon as he hears these rifles.
Who's this, Judith?
It's Captain Wally from the fort.
Well, it looks like we arrived in the nick of time, Judith. Is this the young man your messenger told us about?
This is Deerslayer, Captain Wally. And you did arrive in time. The Bingoes had hardly lighted the fire. Did Hurry Harry come back with you?
He's in Canada by this time. He seemed in a hurry to get as far away as he could.
Yes, Harry is well named.
I suppose you'll all return to the garrison with us?
I came to this lake with a Delaware friend to rendezvous his sweetheart. And now that this affair with the Mingos is over, I shall return with him to his village.
I know it's no use to argue with you, Deerslayer. You love the woods and the life of the wilderness. You would not be happy in the towns of the whites.
That's right, Judith. More than that, this war with the Iroquois is just beginning. There'll be need of my services for many months, and maybe years to come.
But when this bloody business is all over, maybe you will return to this spot.
I know no place more beautiful than Glimmerglass. But I cannot foresee the time when I can settle to the peace and quiet of such a retreat. No, Judith, my years are young. The frontier with all its peril is my home. You will go to the garrison for the time. I shall go with Chingachgook and his betrothed.
But it may not be long before we meet again. I thank you, friend, from the depth of my heart for all your kindness and your courage.
Where is the Ark?
I'm sure it's at hand. You go with us to the castle until our plans can be made.
Yes. But tomorrow's sun will see Chingachgook on his way home.
And you?
I shall go too, Judith. But it will not be long till I will be at the garrisons to act as guide for some party through these dangerous woods. And we may meet again.
What's that?
It's Chingachgook calling from the Ark. Come. Let us go.
The Deerslayer, Part 9 of 13, on Tuned to Yesterday, part of James Fenimore Cooper's Leatherstocking Tales, the radio version produced in 1932. This radio series in particular would be the only time that The Deerslayer was adapted on the air. The next work adapted from James Fenimore Cooper would be on The Cavalcade of America 8 years later, in 1940, on The Cavalcade of America, with a half-hour adaptation of his novel The Spy. Now on to Part 10 of 13 of The Deerslayer, next on Tuned to Yesterday.
You are about to hear another episode of The Deerslayer, dramatized and directed by Charles Frederick Lindsley. Negotiated for the ransom of the two white men held prisoners by the Iroquois. He has shown the chief, Rivenoak, the curious little ivory elephants, the beasts with two tails, and demanded the return of Tom Hutter and Harry March for their exchange. Rivenoak parleys with the woodsman and finally refuses the offer. As the Iroquois push off in their raft, Judith, who is watching them through the spyglass, cries out a warning.
Be on your guard, Deerslayer. I can see rifles beneath the hemlock brush. And the Iroquois loosening them with his feet.
I see what you're doing, Mingo. Make another move for them rifles and you're a dead Injun.
Iroquois, no got rifles.
You lie. I can see them with this spyglass.
Oh, why should Rivenoak and White Brother leave cloud between them? They both wise and brave. We part like friends. One beast, price for one prisoner.
I thought you'd come to your senses. And now, Mingo, you'll see that a pale face knows how to be generous.
Bring us our friends, and you can have 3 ivory beasts. And if you come before sunset, you may have a 4th.
A pale face? He give 4 animals with 2 tail if white captive men come before sunset?
Yes, 4.
Rimino, chief of Iroquois. He go. Captive, come.
Deerslayer, can any face be put in these wretches? Won't they keep the toy elephant they have and send us instead some bloody proof of their cunning?
No doubt, Judith, if it wasn't for Injun nature. But that two-tailed beast will turn the whole tribe into a hornet's nest of curiosity. There'll be no peace between them until they get every carved bone they can from us.
Well, all we can do now is to wait and see what they will do. I wonder why they've been so long in coming. It's almost dark now. Do you suppose they've intentionally waited until this time so they can attack us?
No, they'll not attack, I'm sure. They know the danger in that. I think they probably had Hurry and your father at a camp removed from the point where they embarked and had to wait until some of the band could fetch them.
Must not make Iroquois angry. Be friendly, Deerslayer.
Well, that's a new note from you, Chingachgook. What's your reason in that?
Make Iroquois angry? They take women away from camp.
Oh, I see. Some more cunning, a big serpent. He's afraid, Judith, that the Indians will remove the women and children and take Watawa along. I guess you're right, Chief. Rather than have the bargain fall through now, I'll throw in 3 or 4 war trinkets to please their fancy. We must keep them calm and trustful until we can get your gal away from them.
I believe I see them now, Deerslayer. It's getting dark, but maybe you can tell who's on the raft.
Why, you're right, gal. They've slipped up on us almost while we've been talking about them. Here, let me see.
Can you see Father and Harry?
Yes. Your father and Harry are on board, all right. All trussed up like animals. Listen.
Ahoy, there! Judith! Deerslayer!
It's Father.
It's all right, old Tom. Tell the Mingos to keep the distance. We'll make our bargain from here. Chingachgook, go inside and hide all the firearms. I know Hurry Harry, and he'll break faith with the enemy as soon as he lands, if he can lay hand to a rifle. Are you armed, Iroquois?
No, pale-faced brother, no. Riven will put faith in him. No got gun on raft.
All right. Draw up and put your prisoners on this platform. But we have you covered in one false move and you'll never see your tribe again. Judith here will hand you the little beasts when you help old Tom and his friend up on the castle. Here, Judith, take these elephants and pass them over when the prisoners come up on the platform with us.
The other Iroquois is cutting the ropes off their feet now and helping them up.
They've been trussed up so tight they can hardly stand.
Hello there, Harry. You look like a girdled pine in the clearing. I'm glad to see that you haven't had your hair dressed by any Iroquois barbers.
Okay, dear Slayer. It'll be prudent for you to deal less in mirth and more in friendship. Give us a hand. Act like a Christian for once and not like a laughing schoolgirl.
We'll take the master of the castle first. Up with you, Hunter. Here, let me cut these bonds off your hands. You've come off whole, feet and all. You're just a little numb from being tied up so tight, that's all. Here, dance around a bit, and nature will soon set the blood in motion. Have you delivered the elephants, Judith?
Yes, Rivenoak has them all.
Good. Come on, Harry, you're next. Welcome to Muskrat Castle. And I'll perform the same service for you. There.
Give me that rifle. Hurry! I'll teach them bloody farmers they can't treat Hurry this way.
Stop that rifle, Hurry. Are you crazy?
What did
I say?
I'll tell you them Indians to treat me in a terrible way. You think I'm going to let them get away with it?
Well, Hurry, it's a good thing that you fired straight in the air. If you had killed one of the Mingos on the raft, no ransom in the world could save our scalps. You're a fool to lose control of yourself in such a way. You've come off whole, and that's not little. Knowing that there's 4 rifles on the castle now, the farmers may decide to leave these parts.
Ah, you're a woman, Deerslayer. Grow a beard, and maybe you'll be fit company for real men. That blackened Riven Oak has an uncommon scalp, and I'd give as much for it as the colony.
A white man's word is worth more than all the scalps in the world, Hurry. And Deerslayer never breaks faith, even with a redskin.
Well, it's over now. And sighs and lamentations won't mend the matter. Judith, darling. Did you mourn for me much when I was in the hands of the enemy?
Our tears have raised the lake, Harry March, as you might have seen by the shore. We grieve for Father, of course, but for you we fairly rain tears.
Yes. It's a wonderment to me how you got us off, Deerslayer.
Let us into the secret. Was it by lying or by coaxing?
By neither, Hardy, but by buying. We paid a ransom for you. But be on your guard again, lest our stock of goods shouldn't hold out.
I wonder if it's peace or war betwixt us and the savages. This giving up captives has a friendly look.
Here's an answer to that question, Master March. Look at that.
Why, it's a bundle of sticks tied with a piece of deerskin. Where did it come from?
Oh, look, Harry. The ends have been dipped in blood.
You're right, Judith. If this isn't plain English, it's plain Injun. This is a declaration of war.
How did you get this, Deerslayer? Where did it come from?
We left Chingachgook on the lookout after the Iroquois chief left on his raft. He tells me that the raft had not gone far until it headed toward us again. He was just about to call me when Rivenoak threw this faggot up on the platform of the castle and then rode away.
The prowling wolves? Hand me that rifle, Judith. I'll send an answer back to the vagabond.
Not while I stand by, Hurry. He'll do no good.
Give me a rifle, I say. Yeah, give me a canoe, and I'll overhaul the devils and bring back Rivenoak's scalp. I'll attack their camp if necessary. They fetched me once, but this time the painted reptiles will not catch me up. Deerslayer, you're untrue to your friend.
Shame on you, Harry March. You're a braggart and an ingrate.
Let him rant, Jude. The war's not over, Hurry. And you'll have chance enough to express your vengeance. But go into the cabin with Hutter and cool yourself off. You're in no danger tonight.
Ah, you're nothing but a screw.
A well-named young man, Judith. Harry certainly expresses his nature. And that quick temper of his will get him into plenty of trouble before he dies.
Oh, dear Slayer, this is a terrible life for women. Would to heaven I could see an end to it.
The life is well enough, Judith. What would you wish to see in its place?
I should be 1,000 times happier to live nearer civilized beings, where sleep at night would be sweet and tranquil. A dwelling near the fort would be better than this dreary place.
Nay, Judith, I can't agree in the truth of all that. If forts are good to keep off enemies, they sometimes hold enemies of their own.
But women are not made for scenes like these, Deerslayer. Scenes of which we shall have no end as long as this wall lasts.
If you mean women of white color, you're not far from the truth. But it's different for the women of the red men. Nothing would make Hist happier than to know that Chingachgook is prowling around for a scalp.
Surely she cannot be a woman and not feel concern when she knows the man she loves is in danger.
She doesn't think of the danger, Judith, but of honor.
Well, no white girl could feel anything but misery if she believed her betrothed in danger of his life. Nor do I believe that even you could be at peace if you believed your Hist in danger.
But I have no Hist, nor am I like to have. For I hold it wrong to mix colors except in services.
In that you feel as a white man should. Though as for Harry, he would be all the same. Whether his wife were a squaw or a governor's daughter, provided she was comely and would help keep his stomach full.
Oh, you do March an injustice, Judith.
No, Harry's greedy, selfish, and overbearing, ferocious. He's not like you, Deerslayer. You're manly and natural and honest.
Thank you, Judith. Thank you with all my heart. Harry is blunt. But listen, that's Chingachgook. Come in, Chief.
Time to meet Wattawa.
Yes, you're right, Delaware. I was forgetting. Well, I'm ready. We'll take the largest canoe and start for the rendezvous at once.
Beasley, how do you propose to rescue the Delaware girl?
She's to meet us at the big rock when the big star shows in the north.
Well, how can she get away from the Iroquois to meet you as you planned? Don't they hold her captive?
Yes, but in the darkness, she may get away long enough to meet us if we're prompt.
I don't think it at all likely that she's unobserved.
Why?
Well, the Iroquois must know that your friend Chingachgook is here with us in the castle. Do you think they'll take their eyes off the girl even for a moment?
They probably know about the chief here, all right. But since the gal has sent us word, we must not disappoint her if she tries to keep the appointment.
Well, suppose she's not at the rock. What'll you do then?
We go Mingo camp. Take wa when Mingo sleep.
Oh, Deerslayer, do you intend to go into the Mingo camp? If you do not sign wa at the rock, why, it's taking your life in your hand.
Oh, very likely, gal.
Oh, I tell you, this is folly. This bundle of sticks dipped in blood which they sent to the castle means that they'll give no quarter. What can you do against 40 or 50 cruel Indians?
You must leave all that to our cunning, Judith. Now we'll find a way to take the girl. And we'll be back here at the castle afore daylight. Are you ready, Chief?
Canoe ready. We go take one. Maybe 3, 4 Mingo scalp.
Then goodbye, Deerslayer, and good luck. You're going into a death trap. My instinct tells me a great evil awaits you. Be careful, Deerslayer.
Aye, we'll take no more chances than needed, Judith. And we'll be back again the rising of the sun. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
The Deerslayer, Part 10 of 13 on Tuned 2 Yesterday from 1932. This is an hour of continuing series on Tuned 2 Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now on to Part 9 of 13 of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, a George Edwards production produced in 1931.
We now present George Edwards in Frankenstein. On board the good ship Voyager, Baron Frankenstein is confined to his cabin, recovering from the effects of hardship and exposure. During his convalescence, he tells the story of his tragic experiences to Captain Walton, the master of the vessel.
Well, the weather seems to be improving a little, Baron Frankenstein. For a wonder, it's not snowing.
Perhaps Detroit is going to set in soon. Then you will have to take your vessel back to England, and you will leave me here.
We shall certainly not leave you here.
Oh, but you must. I cannot return to civilization until I am sure that the monster of my creation is dead.
Let me plead with you, Baron Frankenstein. You were in the last stages of exhaustion when you came aboard this vessel. We have nursed you back to health and strength. Come back to England with us. Forget about the monster. I feel sure that he has perished out there in the blizzard.
Oh, if only I could feel sure.
Tell me some more of your story. What happened after you had destroyed the companion you were making for the monster?
Did I not tell you that the monster returned and threatened me? He swore that he would see me again on the day that I returned to my wife?
Yes, I remember that. And did you leave the island then?
I arranged with my friend Ernst Claval that we should leave the island a few days later. And when the supply vessel called, some men were sent ashore to carry our effects to the ship. This vessel was under the command of a dour Scottish captain called MacDougall. He came ashore and spoke with Ernst Claval and myself.
We can put you ashore at Southampton. That is as far as we're going this trip.
Oh, that will do nicely. Are you agreeable to Dr. Claval?
Oh, we must be agreeable. No other boat will call here for a month.
Well, we must go on this one. Tell me, Captain MacDougall, is your vessel watched closely?
What do you mean by that, Baron Frankenstein?
Has anyone else tried to get aboard the vessel?
Why, certainly not. The vessel is moored about 100 yards from the shore, and only one boat came ashore. No one would get into that boat but your two passengers.
Oh, I am glad to hear that.
I did not know that there was anyone else on the island.
There is one other person on the island, but he must not leave here.
Hey, who is he?
That matters not. But he is an enemy of mine. Is everything ready, Ernst?
Oh, my briefcase has been left in the cottage. I will only detain you for a moment, Captain. I will go and get it myself.
Very well, Herr Claval. We will wait for you.
Do not be too long, Ernst. I want to get off this island as soon as possible.
Oh, I will only be a few minutes.
Now, Captain MacDougall, I would like you to give your crew instructions to see that no one, bar Herr Claval and myself, attempts to board this vessel. It is imperative that the monster should remain here. Perhaps he will die of starvation.
What monster is this of which you speak, Baron Frankenstein?
A huge, deformed creature. A murderer.
A murderer? On this island?
Do not worry your head, Captain. As long as that creature is not allowed to board your vessel, as long as we keep a watchful eye, there is nothing to fear. I am hopeful that I will never see or hear of him again.
What does it mean?
Call some of your men. Come quickly. Follow me.
Tell me more, Baron Frankenstein. Had Ernst Claval really been attacked?
Together with Captain MacDougall, we hurried to the cottage. I flung open the door and dashed in. And then a dreadful sight met my eyes. On the floor in the far corner lay the huddled body of Ernst Claval. I dashed over to him and said, "This is the monster's work. Oh, Ernst, my friend, I should have known.
Let me see the man.
Look at him, Captain MacDougall. He is dead. And look on those cruel bruises. Those marks on his throat. This is the monster's work. He has carried out his promise. Those that I love are to be slain. This is my punishment.
But who is this frightful creature? Then let me order my men to search for him. The island is small. We must find him.
We must find him. Arm your men with firearms. tell him to shoot on sight.
But what does the creature look like?
A cruel, evil monster. Much bigger than an ordinary man, with long, yellow fangs that show between his lips. A monster of hideous cruelty. Oh, he must be found and slain.
But who is he? What is his name?
He has no name. I created him.
You created him? You created this monster, Baron Frankenstein?
It is the truth. Go, man. Tell your men to search for this monster. Tell them to slay him. Leave me here with my friend Ernst.
Will you be safe here?
I will be safe, although I pray for death. Go, Captain. I beg that you strive to find the monster and slay him.
I will gather my men at once. We'll search the island thoroughly. You had better return to the vessel as soon as possible, Baron Frankenstein. I will see you there.
Oh, Ernst, my friend. The truest friend that man ever had. Had I but heeded your advice, you would have been alive today. But I sinned. I usurped the rights of God. And for that sin, I am paying dearly. Now I have lost my friend. I know that my wife is in danger. Oh, almighty Father in heaven, I know that I have sinned. I beg for thy forgiveness. I ask that I may live to avenge those who have died because of my crime. Hear thou my prayer, my Father. Hear thou.
Well, Baron Frankenstein, was the monster found on the island?
Captain MacDougall and his men searched the island thoroughly, but there was no trace of the monster. He had not even left a footprint. Where he was hiding, I do not know, because later on I joined in the search, and I could not find him. At last, heartbroken and weary, I left the island, taking with me the body of my beloved friend, Ernst Clerval. The vessel set sail, and in due time I landed at Southampton. Then I made arrangements to go home, and at last I arrived in Geneva once again. On arriving there, I found my wife eagerly awaiting me. She greeted me happily.
Victor, oh, my heart is almost bursting with joy to see you again after all these months. Oh, my darling.
Oh, Elizabeth, I am so happy to feel my arms about you once again.
Let me look at you. Have you fully recovered from your illness? Have you forgotten the nightmares and the horrors of the past?
I am well, Elizabeth.
That is not the truth, Victor. You look drawn and very pale.
I have had a long and tiring voyage, but I will be better soon.
But what ails you? And where is Ernst? Did he not come with you?
Ernst is not returning.
Not returning?
I left him in England. He sent you his love.
That is strange. I thought he would come back with you.
Oh, do not question me now, Elizabeth. I am tired. But tell me of yourself. Have you been happy here?
Oh, how could I be happy while you were away from me? But I looked forward to the day when you would return.
Have you seen anything of the monster?
Not a sign. I am living in hopes that he has perished, that we will never hear from him again.
Have there been any reports that he has been around here in the last few days?
Why should you think that? Have you seen anything of him during your travels?
I saw him once.
Did he follow you?
Oh, do not be worried, Elizabeth.
I had so hoped that the horrible creature was dead. Why are you looking so worried, Victor? What has happened?
Well, you must be guided by me, Elizabeth. I beg that you will not leave the house unaccompanied. Stay by my side always. And whatever you do, wherever you go, if you do leave my side, carry this pistol with you.
A pistol? But, Victor, what is it that you fear?
What is it that I fear? Don't you know? I fear that the monster may return. I know that he is not dead.
You know that he is not dead?
I told you that I had seen him.
But why should you think that he will attack me?
Oh, please do not question me now, Elizabeth. But do as I say. Promise that you will not be alone for any length of time. And if you hear anything which frightens you, promise on your word of honor that you will call for help at once.
But do you think that that will be necessary?
Oh, it is necessary. And please always carry that pistol with you. Do not hesitate to use it if necessary.
This is most alarming. I wish you would be frank with me, Victor. Tell me why you think the monster will attack me.
He is a blood-crazed inhuman creature. We must be on our guard. We must strive to kill him before he does any further damage.
Any further damage? Has he committed another murder since you left here?
Oh, can we not talk of something else, Elizabeth? I am so worried, so terribly worried. The mere mention of the monster upsets me.
And I thought that this holiday would help you to recover, and you would come back well and strong. But you seem worse than ever. I have never seen you show such fear.
Well, I cannot help it. Oh, but be of good heart, Elizabeth. While I am here, I shall protect you. And if the monster comes, I swear he shall die.
Why should you think the monster will come?
Well, he threatened to come on the day that you and I were reunited. But I hope that he is on that lonely island in the Orkneys. I do not think he can be here.
Victor, did you hear that?
Yes, I heard it. The monster's laugh. He has returned. Oh, Elizabeth, I am afraid.
Proceed, Baron Frankenstein. Did you see anything of the monster that day?
Oh, I'm afraid I cannot tell you any more now, Captain. The telling of this story has tired me. Please, go and leave me in peace.
Very well. I will note what you have told me in the journal, and I will return to you when you feel more rested.
Frankenstein, untuned to yesterday from the George Edwards Players, Part 9 of 13, from 1931. We wrap up this hour of continuing series untuned to yesterday with Part 10 of the series next.
We now present George Edwards in Frankenstein. Frankenstein was gradually recovering his health. Under the care of the captain and the surgeon of the ship Voyager, which was icebound in northern waters. Each day, Baron Frankenstein told Captain Walton some of his story, and the captain duly noted these facts in his journal.
Perhaps you would care to have another look through my journal, Baron Frankenstein. You may desire to make some further corrections.
If you will leave your journal here, I will go through it, Captain Walton. On looking through the porthole, I notice that the weather is improving.
Yes, it is noticeably warmer, too. I think the thaw will set in at any day. Then at last we can proceed on our journey to England. I trust you will be accompanying us, Baron.
I doubt it. Strange that neither you nor your crew have seen any sign of the monster.
Let us trust that the monster no longer lives.
I must make sure before I return. I think that very soon I will be able to go up on deck. I am feeling so much better.
The surgeon says that within a few days you may be able to go up on deck. Now, would you care to tell me some more of your story?
Well, let me see your journal. I was telling you how I returned home to my wife. I was afraid to tell her of the death of Ernst Clerval. And I was terrified that the monster would keep his promise and appear on the day that I was reunited with Elizabeth. While we were talking, we suddenly heard a ghastly laugh, and I knew that the monster had kept his promise. Elizabeth clung to me in terror, and I said, "Now, Elizabeth, you understand why I must guard you carefully. The monster has returned, and he has designs on your life."
But I thought that he had promised never to take another human life.
He did not keep his promise, nor did I keep mine.
He's outside that door, Victor. What can we do?
I will lock the door. We are safe in here.
I am terrified.
I have kept my promise, Frankenstein. You broke yours to me. It seems that my creator can make a promise and break it. But I do not break promises. Have you sincerely mourned the death of your friend, Ernst Clavel?
Ernst Clavel? Is he dead?
I will explain later, Elizabeth.
I am going now, Frankenstein. But I will not be very far away. Not very far away.
Victor, what can we do?
I will arrange for a bodyguard to come to the house. We will make plans to slay that foul monster.
Tell me about Ernst Clavel.
Well, I was trying to keep the news from you. Ernst has been killed, murdered by the monster. Oh, Elizabeth, are we to spend the rest of our days in fear and terror? Am I never to cease to suffer because of the crime which I committed?
I will carry this pistol, Victor, and we will take every precaution to try and protect ourselves.
Oh, the monster will not kill me. He desires me to live on and suffer. Oh, but I am afraid for you. Tomorrow, you shall leave here. You will go to England.
Think not that the monster would follow me, or I am safer with you, Victor. We must not be parted again.
Oh, it is my fault that we are suffering all this misery.
We have each other. We must do all in our power to rid the world of this foul creature.
I will send a message to the burgomaster at once. I will ask him to send his best man here to act as a bodyguard, and together we shall plan to bring about the downfall of the monster.
You must send one of the servants with a message at once.
Oh, Elizabeth, until that monster dies, we are to spend our days in terror and abject misery. Let us pray that we shall escape with our lives.
Well, Baron Frankenstein, did the burgomaster send someone to protect you from the monster?
A man called Fabian was sent to the house. He took up his quarters there, and he acted as our bodyguard. But I assure you, Captain Walton, that my wife and I experience misery, terror, and suspense such as is known to few mortal beings. Every footstep, every sound caused us to start. We were prisoners in our own home. Still, there was no sign of the monster. There came a day when I sent for the man, Fabian. I discussed with him the best plans for finding the vile creature which was endangering our existence. When Fabian came into the room, I said... be seated, Fabian.
Thank you.
Tell me, where is the Baroness?
She has gone to her room to rest. I saw that her door was locked, Baron Frankenstein. Do you think we need an extra bodyguard in the house?
Well, it might be advisable to have another man here. Fortunately, we are all armed. The Baroness never goes anywhere without her pistol. And you and I carry two pistols.
Do you think the monster is somewhere in the ground?
I have had the ground searched each day, and still there is no sign of the monster. I do not know where he can be.
Let us send a message to the burgomaster and ask him to send another man here.
We will do that at once. I feel that we will receive a visit from the monster at any time. And if there is an extra man here, we will have more chance of overpowering and killing the creature. I will give the message to the servant now. Why, this is strange.
What ails you, Baron Frankenstein?
Why, the door will not open.
Let me see. Why, it is locked from the outside.
Was the key on the outside of the door?
It must have been, but I did not place it there.
Well, who could have locked us in? Surely the monster is not here.
We will have to break our way out of here.
My wife, she is upstairs in her room. We must get out of here at once. That is Elizabeth. Help me to break this door open.
It is a heavy door.
Out in the way.
I will smash it with this chair and make try. The door is too heavy.
Where are the servants? Why do they not come to help us? Help! Come and open this door.
Along with the wall. I think I can break the panel with the corner of this small table.
Stand clear, Baron. I must get out of here. My wife, I heard a scream, and I heard a shot. Hurry,
baby. A moment. There. I have broken a panel.
It is not big enough to go through yet. Break another panel.
I am doing the best I can.
Oh, let me go through.
I will follow you.
Oh. Look. There. At the foot of the stairs.
The Baroness.
Oh. Elizabeth, what has happened? Look at the marks on her throat.
The Baroness is dead.
Choked to death by the monster. He kept his promise.
Oh, look. The pistol lies there by her side. She must have fired it to try to save herself. And we were too late. We were locked down in the library.
I must go for help at once.
Oh, we are helpless. No one can prevail against the brute which I created. He swore to kill my wife, and now he has kept his promise. Oh, and listen, children.
You are distressed in the telling of this story, Baron Frankenstein. Shall I leave you alone?
I shudder now as I recall the horror of that moment. As the realization came to me that my beloved wife had been murdered, I felt as if I had murdered her myself. But I shall live to avenge her. The monster must die.
What is that?
Footstep that I know so well. The monster is here on the ship. Are you armed, Captain?
I am not.
We meet again, Frankenstein. And I can lock this door behind me.
Why have you come here? I hope that you were dead.
You vile, murdering creature. I have no sympathy for you, only hatred and loathing.
Stand where you are, Captain. I hold you firmly. You tremble.
Let me go.
If you call for help, you shall die.
Why should you kill me? I have done you no harm.
You have said that your sympathies are all with Frankenstein. But do you not realize that I also have suffered? Our quarrel is almost over, Frankenstein. I have come to tell you that I will slay no more of your friends unless they seek to slay me. I have but one life to claim now.
Whose life is that?
Yours, Frankenstein. The creature shall kill the creator. The monster shall destroy the man who created him. Mark that well, Frankenstein. Before this ship leaves, you shall die.
I only pray that before this ship leaves, I am given the strength to kill you. I will be content to die when you are dead.
Think not to escape me, Frankenstein. Your life and mine are bound together. I go now. But be prepared. The end may not be far distant.
Go after him, Captain. Oh, quick! Bid your men shoot him down.
No. No. I cannot go after him, Baron Frankenstein. I do not think that anyone can kill that monster. And he has sworn to kill all who strive to slay him. Oh.
You must despise me and think me a coward.
I do not think that. I understand. But go on deck, Captain. Tell your men to keep a close guard. And whatever you do, see that the officers are armed. And carry a firearm yourself. Then return to me and I will continue my story.
Frankenstein, on Tuned to Yesterday, Part 10 of 13, broadcast in 1931. And that brings the curtain down on this hour of continuing series on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.